Hello, everyone. We're back again. Today is August 10th from here in Tokyo, Japan. Unfortunately, we're back in the office this week, not at the beach like last week. If you missed last week's video, go watch it. We were on the beach in Tokyo talking to people about Bitcoin Cash on the beach. But today, we're glad to be in the office, too, because we're building all sorts of fantastic stuff to bring more economic freedom to the world through Bitcoin Cash, which brings us right to the very... again, I'm Roger Ver.
Corbin Fraser.
Here we are again. And right at the top of our list is a really, really, really exciting development for Bitcoin Cash. Take it away, Corbin.
Yeah, so this one's pretty huge. Wormhole Cash, it finally has arrived on Bitbox. So Bitbox being the developer SDK over at developer.bitcoin.com. Our good friend and amazing developer, Gabriel Cardano, has been working for the last 10 days, pretty much night and day, ever since visiting Hong Kong for the August 1st announcements. He was pretty inspired, and I don't think he's gotten much sleep because he's just been working day and night trying to get this thing set up. But basically, you can now create issue tokens using Bitbox.
And you got to have a demo of this too, right? Tell us about the demo you saw firsthand.
So I saw firsthand Gabriel create 1,500 tokens on using Wormhole Cash. He was able to mint the tokens. He was also able to, just want to go through this here, create tokens with a manageable supply, issue and revoke tokens. He was also able to change the primary address, which can grant and revoke tokens. So he created a custom token for Quantum Mining Coin, QMC, for a crowd sale, and sold them. So he sold 100 QMC for one Wormhole Cash. If you want to read all about it, he's going to have a blog post as well up on Bitcoin.com, breaking down kind of how this all works. The interesting thing is that, you know, most of the documentation was actually in Chinese, so I got to watch firsthand as Gabriel was working with some of our translators on trying to make sense of how this was all put together. But because it's an OmniFork and because he speaks developer language, he was able to kind of cross-reference things and actually make sense of it and put together the English documentation. So it's official. Bitcoin Cash has tokens. We can do ICO sales, you can do crowd sales, you can do you name it, everything from ERC-20 to ERC-721, which are basically the same tokens that were used for CryptoKitties on Ethereum. So, you know, for better or worse, ICOs and CryptoKitties are probably coming to Bitcoin Cash in the near future.
And they're probably coming to Bitcoin.com, too. We've been thinking about having our own ICO for, like, maybe the games part of the platform. Maybe we'll issue a token and pay dividends or use part of the money from the games part of the platform to buy back the tokens on the open market. There's a lot of things that are now available to us that we've been waiting for Bitcoin Cash to have. We've been waiting for Bitcoin to have it because it got disabled on Bitcoin, but now, you know, Bitcoin is still alive and well in the form of Bitcoin Cash, and all the opcodes there are available. All the fun stuff's happening on Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin Cash is where all the fun stuff's happening.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing with this one is that, you know, it's not like, you know, this is an off-chain token, and this doesn't close the doors for other token proposals. So I know, for instance, there's this SLP, the Simple Ledger Protocol, and that's another token proposal that's been put forward after the group proposal. And that one is run by Jonald Fuchbal, as well as, I think there's about six other developers. I apologize, he just has a memorable name. but you can check that one out, and it is a permissionless on-chain token, I believe. And it is using I believe it's using the OpReturn.
And if you want, they're using OpReturn. And if you want to learn more about all this fantastic stuff that's happening, visit developer.bitcoin.com. And shout out to Vin Armani, who just did an interview with our developer Gabriel, who's behind developerbitcoin.com. So go check out Vin Armani's interview with Gabriel from just a couple of days on his channel. We'll put the link right here for you guys to click on. It's a fantastic, fantastic interview, and it should really make you excited about all the development that's happening on top of Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, and huge thanks to Gabriel for all his hard work. I mean, he's been working night and day on this stuff. And if you are interested in learning more about Wormhole Cash and how you can issue your own token on Bitcoin Cash, visit developer.bitcoin.com/wormhole.html. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. And go check it out. See if you can play around with it. And
make your own token. Give it a try.
Give it a go. Yeah.
So, which brings us to all the fun stuff happening on Bitcoin Cash.
Yep.
I remember when Dish Network first started accepting Bitcoin in like 2013, I think it was. And it was a big deal because it's a Fortune 250 company. And now, of course, they're accepting Bitcoin Cash. And they're not the only one. So I was talking about this the other day. I think you may be able to make an argument that there are more businesses now that accept Bitcoin Cash than accept BTC.
Yeah.
Because you have all the BitPay merchants, all the Coinbase merchants, and you have a bunch of businesses like Bitcoin.com that have basically, for the most part, dropped BTC because it doesn't work for payments anymore and added BCH. So like, there might be more websites out there in the world that accept BCH for payment than BTC. That's a real possibility.
Yep.
And if it's not already the case, I think that'll be the case in the future because Bitcoin Cash actually works as cash. BTC, I don't know, good luck with their science project.
Yeah, and so. I mean, if you found another business that started accepting Bitcoin Cash, leave a comment below, you know, add a link.
Tell us your favorite business that accepts Bitcoin Cash. Yeah. Put it in the comments right there, and we're giving away shirts to the best comments, so put your comments there. But I'm going to take a moment to pitch my favorite business that accepts Bitcoin Cash. Purse.io. I say it every episode, but I say it not because they're paying us any money, but because I absolutely love it. I use it all the time myself. I used it to... So you saw that we were at the beach last week doing the news show. I realized I didn't have any good swim trunks. So I used Purse.io between last week and this week to buy some new swim trunks. I got 19% off from Amazon in Tokyo. It doesn't just work in the US. It also works in Japan Amazon and probably other Amazons around the world. So granted, it was a little bit slower here with the Japan Amazon, but I still saved 19% by using Bitcoin Cash on Amazon via Purse.io. That's so huge. If you like saving money on Amazon, not just a little bit, but like 15 or 20%, off of every single product on Amazon, go and check out Purse.io. That's my favorite business that accepts Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, I hear you. Actually, my favorite business is probably CheapAir.com. So I've been using that for flights, hotels. Anytime I'm taking off, I've been paying with Bitcoin Cash. They've got it. I mean, it's instant. I mean, you get to use Bitcoin for what it's meant to be used for.
And shout out to CheapAir also for being one of the early businesses to start accepting Bitcoin for payments. And like everybody that's actually trying to use Bitcoin for payments, they realize that Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin. So thank you, CheapAir. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Dish Network, of course, as well.
Yeah, huge shout out to them.
Another sign of the times here, too. So a lot of people, maybe they do or maybe they don't know this, but in 2011, I started the Tokyo Bitcoin Meetup Group here. Yep. And we had people from all over Tokyo show up to talk about Bitcoin. We held it in Shibuya at the fruit parlor here. And now that BTC isn't Bitcoin anymore, some other people, not me, launched the Bitcoin Cash Meetup Group. And we have the Tokyo Bitcoin Cash Meetup Group every single week here in Tokyo. Yep. And it just surpassed more than 1,000 people signed up for it. It's only been out less than a year. I think they started like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And my experience is pretty much nobody even goes to the BTC meetups anymore. I don't know anybody that goes
to them.
They're
a ghost town. It's, I mean, it's the Bitcoin Cash meetups are what the Bitcoin meetups used to feel like.
And it's almost all the same people.
It is.
Yeah,
it's really funny. You're seeing the old Bitcoiners and everyone that's
used to be using BTC. Now.
Yeah, they're using Bitcoin Cash now because they actually want to spend their Bitcoin and use it
as peer-to-peer electronic cash, like the title of the white paper.
Yeah, it's great.
They want to use it to buy things like coffee, something that...
On-chain coffees, on-chain beers. I mean, I don't see the problem. Yeah, yep. We got 32 megabytes. So we got plenty of room for every type of transaction. So,
And then on August 1st, I think we maybe talked about it on the beach, but I'll mention again, Bitcoin Cash did more transactions in a single day than BTC has ever done in a single day by almost double.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal. And there's tons more room for more transactions on Bitcoin Cash already. So if you're looking for something to scale to be cash for the world, it's Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Next up on our list, this one's, I mean, you've probably all heard about it and seen it in social media. But,
imagine if there was somebody on the internet with all sorts of conspiracy theories that the governments were going to try and silence them from saying things on the internet, and everybody said, oh, what a nutcase. Nobody's going to silence that person. And then suddenly they were, on the same day, purged from every major media website on the internet.
Yeah.
Make him look like he wasn't so crazy after all.
Yeah, and I mean, whether you like him or hate him, Alex Jones is a force to be reckoned with in the online anti-media establishment movement. And I think he has a right to say whatever the hell he wants to say.
And so we should go over this. So a lot of people say, oh, it's not censorship if he's, you know, getting kicked off of Facebook or YouTube or things like this. And so we should specify very clearly, like, Facebook, as a company, they have the right to allow or disallow whatever they want in their platform. Same with YouTube, same with Twitter, same with all of these.
Yep.
But for us as members of the public, we have a right to shout and complain about it all day long as well, which is what we're going to do. I think Alex Jones should be allowed to say his stuff on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think Facebook, as a company, should allow people to spread stupid ideas as well as good ideas. So free speech shouldn't apply just for stuff you agree with. It should apply for every speech, no matter how dumb or stupid it might be or how great you think it might be. The free flow of ideas is what the internet is, you know, should be all about. So Facebook, yeah, you can allow or disallow whatever you want on your platform, but I can criticize you for disallowing things on your platform. So you're banning all these libertarian or conservative types from your platform. Shame on you, Facebook. You should allow these people to have a voice on your platform. It'll make your platform a better thing. And
what do you make of it being such a coordinated coordinated shutdown of InfoWars? I mean, it seems like Google, Facebook, it was like all of these big, you know, tech companies just all shut down. So like,
it seems pretty clear. It seems pretty clear the thing pulling the strings was the United States federal government. I think it was direct pressure from the United States federal government to kick these people off these social platforms. So, which makes it even worse. So, and if you think about it, that means that the government's extracting money from, you know, Alex Jones pays taxes too. So they're taking tax money from Alex Jones and others, and then using that tax money to pay people to harass businesses like Facebook and YouTube and others to then pull Alex Jones's content off of the platform. Like, they're using Alex Jones's own money against him. Like, it's just crazy. And like every other US taxpayer, they're using their money against them to like the propaganda in the NFL too, right? It's all sponsored by the armed forces and patriotic this and that. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of money stolen from people in the form of taxes, then used to indoctrinate them via the NFL propaganda. So like, it's just crazy. Imagine if you or I started extracting money from people under the threat of violence and then using that to promote Bitcoin Cash. They'd think we're a bunch of bad people because it wasn't our money to take in the first place. And even if they're using it to, like, you know, feed, you know, kids in an orphanage, it wasn't their money to begin with. So stealing isn't okay, even if you use it for a good cause. And most of the time, they're using it for horrible causes. So that's my political rant on Bitcoin news today.
Yeah, and actually, on that note, I think we should personally invite Alex Jones and Infowars.com to join Memo.cash. I think we're going to see more and more of this decentralized, permissionless social media networks pop up. Memo.cash seems to be the, you know,
premier one,
very fast growing one. You know, we're seeing the ability for people to embed messages in these tiny microtransactions, which allows anyone to say anything they want and embed it into the blockchain. And I mean, if you check out on the recent This Week in Bitcoin podcast, they had Joey King on, and he goes through why Memo.cash is actually such a huge force to be reckoned with, especially with the fact that, I mean, the only thing that's keeping Memo.cash, you know, the only thing that the only attack vector on Memo.cash is its front-facing website. The data itself is in the blockchain. So if Memo.cash gets shut down, you can
clone it.
Yeah, clone it. Yeah. It's the same thing as you know, the Pirate Bay and all these other things. It's the ability to rebuild and ensure that if someone is censoring, we can actually monitor and triple-check that blockchain to see if Memo.cash were to ever censor something. And if they were, we can easily take that protocol that they've created and fork it into memo2.cash, or
maybe we'll make memo.bitcoin.com at some point. So
it's exciting stuff. So I think don't censor, and
the solution to people spreading bad ideas is more discussion, not less.
And if someone has a bad idea, the best thing for it is to shine a light on it. Talk about it.
If you're busy censoring discussion and censoring debate, you've already lost the intellectual argument. So reminds me of another group within Bitcoin, but we won't mention them until the end of the show. So, which brings us to another thing. So, like, I want everybody that's watching this to know, like, Bitcoin.com is a business, but even more important than that to me, it's a platform that we can use to spread the ideas of free markets and free minds and free speech and voluntarism. And that's what I intend to do with Bitcoin.com. And so as part of that, we've teamed up with Cody Wilson of the Ghost Gunner, who's having a hard time with a bunch of lawsuits about files that people can download on the internet on how to print 3D print a gun. It's a file, it's a computer file with information. The US government's trying to say you're not allowed to have a file with information. That's a bunch of nonsense. So we're about to launch freedom.bitcoin.com. You've been working on that. Tell us more about what we're going to have there.
So a few of the guys here in the office have been working all week on it. We're just trying to get everything set up, but we want to highlight some of the organizations, some of the kind of issues at hand that Bitcoin.com supports. And the first one that we're going to be jumping on is this Defense Distributed Fund, which will help raise funds for Cody Wilson and his team for dealing with all these, you know, ridiculous lawsuits that are just basically targeting him and his group from releasing information.
Computer files. That he made.
I think freedom to information is a right now. I think in this day and age on the internet, it shouldn't be censored, no matter what the file is, in my opinion. And you know, there's as long as it's not causing harm to anyone. And I think most people will agree that 3D printed guns might be a little bit taboo, maybe a little risque, but if you're using them for defensive purposes and not, you know, and the thinking...
It's called defense distributed, not offense distributed.
Exactly.
So.
And I think the thing that a lot of people forget with a 3D printed gun is those files have been out there. So it's not like someone with nefarious purposes, they could easily already have access to those files. So why shouldn't taxpaying free people be able to also have access to those files should the worst, you know, happen? And I had a long conversation with a few people in the office here, and we were talking, you know, about the ethics of 3D printed guns, and you know, I kind of reminded them, you know, places like Venezuela, where people are fighting for food, they're fighting for God knows what, and you know, if you have a 3D printer and you've got a stash of food, it might be nice to be able to defend that stash of food were the worst to happen. Someone break into your house
or
and try to attack your family.
So, like, let's not mince words either, too. Like, you're Canadian, so it's not quite as big of a deal. I used to be American, so in America there's this thing called the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment guarantees people's right to bear arms. It's not about being able to go hunting. It's not about shooting guns when you go camping. It was literally so that people could shoot government agents if they needed to. And and if you think it's crazy talk to say that like people should be able to shoot government agents and people should never, ever, ever shoot government agents, ask yourself, should America still be part of the United Kingdom? Should it still be part of England? Right? Because that's how America was born. Americans literally started shooting tax collectors and government agents and said, we're not going to be a part of your government anymore. And so that's what the Second Amendment was all about, was so that literally people had the ability to say no to government agents and say, no, I'm not going to participate. And in this video, I'm not advocating that people go out and shoot government agents, but I'm saying that that was 100% for sure, without any dispute, that was the intent of the Second Amendment, was to give people the ability that if the government gets out of control, and that's for people out there to decide when that line in the sand is, giving people the ability to say, no, I don't consent, and if you try to force me, I have the ability to defend myself. So that's what it was all about, and I think we need more of that sort of ability for people to defend themselves around the world. So how does that sound as a Canadian?
You know, it's funny. I've had this really strange growth throughout the last, you know, 5 years here. I would call myself an old liberal. You know, I was kind of amongst the typical Canadian. We are usually more left-leaning, but I've kind of had this growth towards center-right libertarian, and now I would identify probably more as a libertarian. I'm quite anti-government. Anti-taxation. I do find taxation is theft.
So let's not mince words. So when we say anti-government, we're just anti-coercion. It doesn't matter if it's a government agent doing the coercion. It's anybody who does the coercion. Don't coerce peaceful people. Don't steal from people. Don't take things that don't belong to you. And just apply that consistently across the board.
And I find, especially with the gun side of stuff, you know, Canadians, they don't like to talk about it, but there is actually quite a high amount of gun ownership in Canada. We also have dealt with, you know, a large deal of drama between, you know, gun registration and the rights to register your gun and what is a, you know, what is a legal gun that you can own, if, you know, different training that's required for different sizes of guns. But I feel like in a free society, you should be able to protect yourself and your family and your land and your property and your, I think that's just basic human right, in my opinion. Yeah.
So to add one little thing on, you know, guntalk.bitcoin.com, apparently, the argument that persuaded me the most in regards to this was that gun control is gun violence. And what does that mean? Let's stop and think about it. So gun control is one group of people with guns telling everybody else that they're not allowed to have guns. And if they try to have guns, they will use their guns to take away the guns from the other people that they claim aren't allowed to have it. And a lot of people say, oh, you guys are talking all this pro-gun stuff from in Japan where nobody has guns. No, that's not true. I see guns every single day in Japan. Mm-hmm. There are people walking around in Japan with guns on their hips. And if Corbin and I tried to have guns, those people would use their guns to take our guns away. And philosophically, who's to say? Why do those people get to have guns when Corbin and I don't? And so I think the strongest argument for me is that gun control is gun violence. And previously, I used to be somewhat persuaded by the arguments of John Lott that, you know, more guns mean less crime. And then I visited Guatemala, and there were guns everywhere, and it was incredibly dangerous. So I don't necessarily think that more guns mean less crime. But philosophically, I have a really hard time swallowing the pill that, like, one group of people should be able to have guns and tell everybody else that they're not allowed to have guns and that they're going to use their guns to make on the rest of everybody else to make sure that they don't get any guns. To me, I can't tolerate that sort of philosophical position. So.
Well, it's a definite great discussion, and I think if you have any comments on it, leave a comment below.
Yep.
You know, we'd love to hear.
Or post it on memo.cash where you can be guaranteed that your post isn't going to be deleted later on. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So on a lighter note, Starbucks.
Tune in next week for guntalk.bitcoin.com.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about bazookas next week.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. So, but on a fun talk, so another fantastic service that's been built on top of Bitcoin Cash now is the iPayU wallet at iPayU.io, where you can instantly buy gift certificates for Starbucks, Uber, Best Buy, iTunes, eBay. And I think it got cut off on my photo here. But you can even buy it for Starbucks as well as Safeway.
Yeah.
So you can buy groceries with your Bitcoin Cash.
It's huge.
On iPayU.io. Yep. So great job, iPayU.io.
Yeah.
So.
Next up, we got Stefan Molyneux. You might know him. I don't know if you
watched
him.
Of course, another prolific
fan.
YouTuber.
Yeah. He's kind of one of many of the growing kind of circle of that intellectual dark web. And I'm a huge fan. I mean, him and
I've been watching
Southern
him since pre-Bitcoin.
Yeah, so, interesting fella. Him and Lauren Southern were recently touring around Australia and then New Zealand where they got censored.
Yep, saw that.
Yeah, kind of strange stuff. But Stefan Molyneux, he predicted Blockstream takeover of Bitcoin back in 2014.
I would say, well, let's not kill it completely. Let's not kill it outright. Because it's big enough now that people will see what we've done and nobody, it really disturbs the villagers when a body falls from the sky. So what they're going to try and do is they're just going to try and not take out the revving engine with an airstrike, but just throw little bits of sand in it, little bits of sand in it, little bits of sand in it, until most people find it too difficult and cumbersome to use and then say, well, it was an interesting idea, just didn't quite work out the way that people wanted. And I think that is the great danger.
We're going to link to the video in the show notes, and
He called it
to a T, and it's really, really shocking.
Yeah, he said they won't ban it outright. They won't say they'll just like gently keep throwing sand in the engine and gumming up the works of Bitcoin. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, so. And it's I really implore a lot of these people, kind of these free thinkers online, to make a video on Bitcoin Cash, make a video on Bitcoin Core, and talk about the politicization between the two and how things have changed. Because I think more of your viewers would actually benefit from Bitcoin Cash. And I do think that being able to talk about free money and what is value and what is the ability for two human beings to trade and the legality or the human rights behind it. I think I implore guys like Stefan Molyneux and anyone else amongst that circle of intellectual dark web free thinkers to look into this a little bit more.
And if you're not a free thinker, start being one. Think for yourself. Don't just defer to authority. Think about what these people in authority are telling you and stop and think for a minute. Does this make sense? Does that make sense? And I'll give one more example of this. So like everybody in government calls themselves your representative. But while they're calling themselves your representative, they boss you around and claim the right to throw you in a cage if you don't obey them. That's not a representative. That's a boss or a slave master, right? Yeah. Or an owner, right? That's not your representative. That's Orwellian doublespeak in action. Yeah. So the next time you hear them referring to politicians as your representative, think, no. That's a bunch of twisting of the words into meaning the exact opposite of what they mean. If you have a representative, they work for you. They don't boss you around and threaten to send you to jail if you have a plant that they don't like.
Yep.
So. Happy thoughts. GMO. Big, giant company in Japan here.
Congrats, guys.
Huge. They mined their first Bitcoin Cash block.
First block.
First of many to come, I think.
So I think they also had a recent announcement a little while ago as well about this 7-nanometer miner, which I think they're still kind of doing some tests on and still doing some developments on. But we're seeing GMO. We're seeing more big institutions here in Japan mining on Bitcoin Cash, and these guys mined their first Bitcoin Cash block. We'll link to it in the show notes as well. And it's exciting stuff. So congratulations, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the club, GMO. So another one, Electron Cash. If you haven't used it, it's a fantastic wallet. We use it for lots of things around the office here. It was previously available on Android and iOS in addition to every desktop platform.
Yep.
Now it's on Nokia feature phones.
Yeah, so they're going, and this is the exciting thing with the development community with Bitcoin Cash, is they're not only thinking 5 years ahead, but they're also thinking about the devices
that are five years behind,
because we're trying to target not only people in the Western countries, but people that maybe don't have smartphones quite yet. And I mean, in order for Bitcoin Cash to truly take off, it's going to have to be used all across the world. And what better way than getting it accessible on Nokia feature phones? It's exciting stuff. So
shout out to that, and shout out to Cointext.io again as well. That makes you be able to, you can send and receive Bitcoin Cash by text message with anyone, anywhere. That's another fantastic one.
Yeah, the guys, Vin Armani and their team over there, it seems like they're trying to spread into more countries. There was some interesting discussion on the BCH gang about trying to get Cointext into Venezuela. The hardest thing they're dealing with right now is that they're trying to find
a text message service provider
that allows them to connect to that two-way endpoints where they can basically process and confirm transactions. Interesting stuff, but I think they're working really hard to try to get that to happen. And if you're interested, yeah, go check it out. Cointext, I believe it's cointext.io.
Yeah.
And,
and it's really, really fun. So as someone who's been involved in cryptocurrencies for almost 8 years now, mm-hmm. I can see like the vast majority of the early doers that made Bitcoin what it is today and the household name that it is today, the vast majority of them are now busy building on Bitcoin Cash because Bitcoin Cash is the original vision for Bitcoin and has the characteristics that made it successful to begin with. And man, as each month ticks by, there's so much happening on Bitcoin Cash and so much not happening on BTC now.
Well, I think it's surprising. Like, I don't even know what week we're on here, but every week we've come here with new and exciting news, and we're focused on Bitcoin
Cash.
Pages
and pages and pages of information happening here every week. So we had to trim it down so we don't go too long. So.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, $500 million Bitmain data center to build
$500 billion.
That's huge.
That's a lot of money. Half a billion with a B dollars.
$500 million Bitmain data center to bring 400 jobs to Texas coal mining town. They're planning on commencing operations in early 2019.
Wow.
So huge, huge money going into the Rust Belt.
Another fun thing was we should mention they announced, Bitmain made over $1 billion last quarter alone, right? A billion with a B. U.S. dollars in a single quarter, right? So like,
that's huge.
That's huge. So that's over $300 million a month in profit, over $10 million a day in profit. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that Bitmain's pretty big fan of Bitcoin Cash.
Well, not only that, they're also the ones pushing the wormhole cash as well. So
they're pushing Bitcoin Cash to the world. And they have $10 million a day in profit to help push Bitcoin Cash to the world.
Yeah, they don't seem like the evil miners that the Bitcoin Core people make them out to be.
Well, Bitcoin Core people don't even use Bitcoin anyhow. There's a bunch of clips on YouTube of them actually saying, oh, I don't consider myself a real Bitcoin user. I don't have a Bitcoin wallet on my phone. It's been months since I made a Bitcoin transaction. That's the Bitcoin Core. Good luck with their science project, but it's not peer-to-peer electronic cash for the world. Mm-hmm. And so back in the earlier days, all the smart money was coming into Bitcoin. And now all the dumb money is coming into BTC and the smart money is coming into Bitcoin Cash, because anybody that looks objectively at what's going on, all of the new infrastructure, all of the exciting developments is being built on Bitcoin Cash. So if you're someone out there who's an investor looking at this, look at where all the developers are building on, look at where all the business adoption is happening. It's happening on Bitcoin Cash.
Yep.
So if you want to be smart with your money, bring it into the Bitcoin Cash ecosystem. If you want to follow the dumb money and people like, oh, I want to be popular with all the cool kids, go ahead and put it in BTC and see how that works out to you. And in fact, I left my phone downstairs, but I checked earlier today. Over the last year, Bitcoin Cash is up more than BTC in terms of price. So there's a lot of volatility from day to day, but in the long term, Bitcoin Cash is outperforming BTC, and that's definitely going to continue into the future.
Yeah, and I think one of my most
$10 million a day in profit they can spend to promote Bitcoin Cash at Bitmain. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right. Well, I was just going to say one of the most exciting things I find with the Bitcoin Cash community is that we're in a bear market. It's been a little bit hurt, and people are kind of wondering when's this thing going to turn around. But despite that, we're seeing new developments, new projects, new ideas all coming out onto Bitcoin Cash, and it's all during the bear market. I mean, that to me is a huge bullish sign, but we don't see much going on the any of these other chains.
What are they going to do? Like, the fees are high, the transactions are slow and unreliable, and Lightning Network's 18 months away.
Yeah.
If they solve one of the hardest problems in computer science to solve, which, good luck, guys, but not so optimistic there.
And actually, speaking of that, that kind of leads into the next part here. If you do want to learn about this this science project, this one of the hardest problems in computer science that has still yet to be solved, check out Rick Falkvinga's YouTube channel, We Are All Satoshi.
Another fantastic channel on YouTube I highly recommend. So
Ben
Armani's channel, Rick Falkvinga's channel, both of those are great.
So Rick posted a new video called How the Bitcoin BTC Narrative Doesn't Hold Up. Really interesting video. We'll link to it in the show notes. Just
watch all of his videos. If you want to learn about the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and what's going on here, watch Rick Falkvinga's videos. They are fantastic. I learn new things every time I watch his videos. So thank you, Rick, for making your videos. Please keep them up. You know what? Maybe I'll send you an email. Maybe we can start syndicating them on the Bitcoin.com channel because I think they're that good and
That'd
more people should see them.
Absolutely.
So,
I think that kind of brings us to the end. I guess we got to do the daily reminder.
Daily reminder. Yeah. So get some free Bitcoin at free.bitcoin.com. Go and play some games at cashgames.bitcoin.com. You can play blackjack, roulette, keno, slots, poker, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. going on. If you win, you can deposit instantly and start playing instantly. If you win, you can withdraw instantly, just like Bitcoin was meant to be. And we hope you win. If you don't win, though, and you lose, that means the house won. And we're going to take that money, we're going to use it to spread more Bitcoin Cash adoption around the world. Yeah. So it's a win-win situation no matter what on that one. But the real important reminder is that the BTC community has been busy engaging in a massive censorship campaign for almost 3 years now. Our Bitcoin has been completely censored. BitcoinTalk.org is censored. Like, yep. If you're having to censor your opponent to win the argument, you've lost the argument right then and there. And so there's a bunch of people on the internet that are new to Bitcoin. They don't realize what's been going on. They've only been allowed to hear one side of the story because, sadly, our Bitcoin, it gets more traffic than basically every other Bitcoin discussion website combined. So it's incredibly, incredibly powerful censorship tool that they have. And the reason they're doing it is that it works. Censorship works. It doesn't make it right, but it works. And so remind yourself and remind your friends that the narrative that you hear going on our Bitcoin is basically a lie.
Yep.
And I made another YouTube video showing the effects of censorship, and we'll put a link to that as well. It's a really, really shocking eye-opener of the effect of censorship on people and how it gets the masses to believe something that's completely not true, and they get them all chanting something, and they have no idea why or no understanding of why they're doing something, yet they do it because they see everybody else around them doing the same thing. So be a free thinker, think for yourself, look at the world around you and use some critical thinking. Don't just believe what you're fed.
And a reminder to the guys at Reddit, I think.
Hey Reddit, if you watch this, I'll donate $500,000 US dollars to the charity of your choice, whatever it is you want to do. I'm not asking you to appoint me the moderator. I'm just asking you to appoint anybody to be in charge of our Bitcoin that actually will allow people to talk about Bitcoin. They don't have to have anything at all. Just simply appoint people that allow discussion of Bitcoin on our Bitcoin. So Reddit, you're a private company. You can do whatever you want, but we can call you out for it too. It's really, really doing a disservice to the entire world by not allowing people to discuss Bitcoin on our Bitcoin, one of the most popular discussion platforms in the entire world for that sort of thing. So $500,000 to the charity of your choice, whatever it is you guys name it, I'll gladly do it. Just allow people to talk about Bitcoin on our Bitcoin. It's not a very tall order there. So do the right thing. Let people talk about Bitcoin on our Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, we try to post this video on our Bitcoin. Anyone watching this video, please try to post it and watch it get banned.
Yeah, if you don't believe us about the censorship, post this video on our Bitcoin and count how many seconds it is until it's deleted.
Yeah. Pretty wild stuff.
Anyhow, that's it for this week, I think.
That's it.
So thank you guys. Subscribe to this channel. Share the video on your own social media. Share it on Memo.cash, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere you can. Help spread the word. And tell your friends about Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin.com. Set them up with a wallet. Tell them about purse.io if they're not a libertarian type and interested for philosophical reasons. Tell them they can save 20% on Amazon. So spread the word. It's up to you.
Yeah, one thing, leave some questions. Severe lack of questions from the viewers last week.
I think they were too distracted by all the sights at the beach
from
last week.
I think they might have been.
It was a pretty rowdy video. Make sure you check that one out too. Yeah. But thanks again.
And maybe we'll do next week's video in Shibuya Crossing too. Yeah. We'll see.
See if we can get some more activity.
See you all next week.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.